For you. If you look in your worship bulletin, if you've been here at all before, if you haven't, then it won't seem different to you at all. You'll note that there's no longer a fill-in-the-blank kind of way to follow along with the message. So we're trying to make a little transition away from that, and let me explain to you why. 13 years I've been here, we've been doing that every single time, so you have a way to kind of track with the sermon, you can know what we're talking about, you can follow along and fill those blanks in. Some of you desperately love that, I know, and enjoy filling those in every time. What I realize, though, and I've known this for a little while, is that it's not the fullest level of participation for you. When you look academically at filling in the blank, that's something that happens kind of in early elementary school age, when you kind of fill in some blanks and the rest of that is provided. But as you press on beyond that, you reach a higher level of participation, where you're more engaged in things and you write the whole thing out yourself, you think more deeply about things. That is our goal. The reason that you're here this morning is so that you can participate in following Jesus Christ. And so this transition then is an opportunity for you to be a little bit more participatory. I would love for you to still find a way to take notes and note what God is saying to you, but no longer am I going to dictate exactly what you need to do. There's an open invitation then for you to really come before Jesus and say, what do I need to hear today? So if there's anything that pops up, I'll still have some words up there, et cetera, for you. If that pops up and you want to hold that in your heart, you can write that down on your own. Don't need any blanks to fill that in. If there's something that I say that isn't even one of those words that strikes you to, if God puts something else on your heart, this is really an opportunity for you individually with Jesus to say, what are you speaking into my life? And participate a lot. I realize that it lacks some of the structure of the other part, so it calls a little bit more focus out of us. But I believe that with the Holy Spirit, we can be there. So will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that you have invited us into this living relationship with you. And I pray for all of us this morning that they can move past my own words, but that they do interact with a living God who has something to communicate to them. And that whether they write it down or not, God, that you lead them into some way to remember and hold on to those truths that you speak into our lives. And we pray that in your name. Amen. So to start with, we have a little image for you, and I would love for you just to look at that. It kind of speaks of some kind of story bigger than that. So I'd love for you to gather at least another person or a couple around you, and just one in the group can just briefly say, what is going on? Give the girl a name, tell what she's experiencing, what is she doing, what's the story behind that? Doesn't have to be extensive. In a small group, your family, another person beside you, one of you can just say, this is what's going on in that picture. Here's the story around it. Some good stories going on out there. I'm going to guess, I don't have time to hear all of your stories coming back. I'm going to guess that somehow in the midst of your story, there's a realization that she probably is not supposed to be having a cookie at this given moment. That's the big eyes, that's the shush, that's the like, don't let it out, I don't want to get caught, I don't want to be a part of all those kinds of things, right? It's a story that all of us have participated in at some point, whether it has been cookies or some other kind of venue, right? There's all been a moment or season in our life where we've said, I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get punished. I don't want the consequences for what I'm doing. She's not necessarily putting the cookie back. She's just saying, I don't want to face the consequences that go along with that. So can you think again, maybe in a group with another person beside you, what are ways that people try to avoid punishment or skip out on the punishment? What are actions that people take that try to minimize, diminish punishment, avoid punishment, skip the punishment? How do we go about doing that? So again, talk about that together. Does anyone have any good punishment avoiding techniques they'd like to share? My brother made me do it? Yeah, put the blame on someone else. At least if I'm getting punished, I can share it with someone else around me, or maybe diminish all of that off on someone else. What are some other ways we avoid punishment?
Minimize.
We minimize it? Yeah, it's not really as bad as you thought it was. What? Justify? Yeah. This is why I provide an excuse why it's really not wrong. It's a version of minimizing. Yeah, yeah. Huh?
Run for the hills.
Run for the hills, we run away. Yeah, it's a good Adam and Eve move right there. Let's go hide as best we can. And we can hide physically. We can hide emotionally from those things. We can hide even just by using our words to cover over whatever it is that we've done, right? What I would like for you to do now, you don't have to share this with anyone else. I'd like for you just to examine your own life and look for the techniques that you use. When you come before others or before God, what do you use to avoid punishment? It's a quieter and more somber moment, but I just want to acknowledge that we all share in that. There is no individual here who does not seek to avoid the full consequences for our actions. Like, we've all participated, and that's not a proud moment for us, but it is a true human moment that we all kind of walk through. Most of us are pretty happy whenever punishment gets skipped, whether someone doesn't notice what we did, misunderstands it and doesn't realize it was as bad as it was, the minimization worked, the lying worked, the running away worked, whatever it is, we're happy when there's punishment that belongs on us that doesn't make it there. That's a thumbs up day. That's a positive kind of day. Not necessarily so happy when that happens to other people, though, right? Like, any of you grow up with a sibling? Right, yeah, so if mom or dad decides that you get off scot-free this time, that's a good day, and you're happy, you're a great mom or dad, right? If your brother or sister hurt you or did something to you, and your mom or dad decides they get off scot-free, then what is your response? It's absolutely not fair. What are you doing? You're a horrible mom or dad. Like, why would you possibly think that could be a good idea to let them off? Don't you see how they wounded me? Don't you see what they did to me? Why would you let them go from that? Right? So we have a little bit of a double standard, not even a little bit, like a really significant one. You know? We want there to be this place of fairness around us. And we see that in that level. We see that when we see celebrities get off, right? That do whatever kind of egregious things, but because of their prestige or their power or whatever else they have, they don't pay the consequences for their actions. When politicians do those things and they don't pay the consequences for their actions, we're not really excited about that, right? You know, when there's a news story about some rapist or child abuser or a murderer who gets off or isn't punished because of some technicality or whatever else, and everybody knows that they did it, but they face no consequences, then we cry out and we say, that's not fair, right? At the core of all of this is this issue of fairness or even justice. So there's a beautiful story in Luke 15. Most of the time we spend focus on one of the two brothers. It's a good sibling story. So if you have a sibling, it fits your own life too, right? This younger brother takes his own inheritance, half of whatever the family has, so the rest of the family business is diminished. I mean, just imagine giving up half of all of your assets, right? You've gone from a nice house into maybe a smaller apartment. You've gone from having two cars into only having one. You've gone from all of these things. Like, I had a, 50-inch TV, now I've got a 32-inch TV. Whatever it is, like, everything got smaller for everybody else when you took that away, just to kind of frame that for you. So that son goes, he squanders all that. He comes back, and the father says, man, that's so great. You know, you can come and enjoy the car. Well, we're sharing the car now among all of us. Even though we used to have enough for everybody, now we've only got one. We're going to share it among all. We'll make room in the house for you. And there's this feeling among the older brother that just rises up and screams right out of his heart, and we all know it too. It's not fair. Right? He took the car and he went and lost it, and now he has to come back and share my car? How is that possibly fair? Right? There's this desire for justice in us, that there should be consequences for what this brother did. There should be consequences when evil occurs, when brokenness or sin happens in the world. That is just. Right? We understand that. Even though we don't like it when it falls on us, if you can look outside of your own life and look at others, you're like, I understand that that's right. In a world where there are no consequences is not a good world. In a world where you can commit murder and there's no consequence at all is an amoral world. It's an unhealthy world. It's not a beautiful or happy place to live. In a place where you can lie or you can gossip or you can do whatever else you want and there's never a consequence, there's never any payment for that, is not a good place to be. And so we pick up with this profound truth today of the incarnation of Jesus. As profound as it is, it's not all that difficult of an idea, right? There was no physical sex for Mary whatsoever, and yet she spent 9 months being pregnant, and after those 9 months, out comes a baby boy. Right, the whole mechanics of it we may have no idea about, but the general idea is simple, that God is saying, I as God am choosing to live in humanity, right, with a fullness of humanity, not with a visage of it or a mask of it or a pretending to look like I'm a human, with a real flesh and blood humanity about him. You can read a tremendous amount about the incarnation, lots of rich things to kind of dig into. A lot of people trying to process why it is that this happened. And a lot of these almost kind of twisted ideas or really technically biblical ideas that kind of come through about, you know, man must be born of a woman or there must be a blood sacrifice to produce those things. I just want to be clear that for all of those things, as much as they reflect on the Bible, they're slightly biblical or slightly circular in their reasoning. Why is the sky blue? God picked it to be blue. There's nothing inherent in the nature of God that requires a blue sky. Right? Does that make sense to you? That was just a choice of God. Just like so many of those other readings are just choices of God. There is, however, one thing inherent in the nature of God that is unchangeable, that's not just his own whim or decision or choice, that requires an incarnation if God's plan is going to go ahead. And that is that God is inherently a God of justice. That's not a choice that he makes, like, hey, do I want to be just or not? Yeah, I think I'll be just this time. As much as we proclaim that God is love, and he is, that is inherent to him, right? He can't take it on and put it off. There's never a day or a moment God interacts with you that he is not love. There is also this inherent nature to God that he is just. There's no moment that God is unjust. God cannot function in an unjust way. There's no time God ever approaches you when God is not being just. Right? Do you understand that? So if God is going to find a way for us to get out of our place of sin as a God of justice, he cannot simply ignore it. Right? There's no possible way to do that. Just like you can't simply ignore whatever sins have been committed around you or by you. If your actions cause a brokenness in another person, if you physically break their bone, if you mentally break their mind, who pays for that? To just say, oh, never mind, let's move along and be fine, ignores that there's real hurt and real pain. Right? There's a consequence. Justice requires that there's a consequence for all of those things. And a God of justice requires that there's a consequence as well. And that consequence requires then that there is this bearing of that, which God cannot do in and of himself. He's not a part of humanity and can't bear it, and he can't physically die, which is the consequence he's ordained for that. And so this incarnation becomes required so that payment can occur for us. A little video clip I want to show you that I think will undergird the truth for you a little bit.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, I have an odd request. I'd like to pay for the car behind me. So, could you do that? Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No, I'm serious. I'd like to pay for the car behind me. Can I pay for them? I'd like to pay for the car behind me.
Oh, to pay for the car?
Yeah.
It's $5.43.
Oh, is it? All right, good. Right. And if they ask you, say it's a random act of kindness from someone's birthday. All right? Okay, thank you. Someone just got lucky.
All right, simple enough concept, right? Guy pulls up in the drive-thru at Burger King, wants to pay for the person behind him. Now, almost all of us probably have used the drive-thru at some point. Is it legitimate to pick up your food and drive off without paying? I was expecting a stronger response from that. Is it confusing? If so, we have some work to work on here, right? No, can you take your food from the drive-thru and drive off without paying? No, right? That is unjust. Something has been provided for you and payment must be made. Absolutely, right? The food that you get from whatever place you're going through has to be paid for. The reality is, even if you take the food and drive off, who pays for the food? The company does, right? So there's nothing free anywhere in the world. You know, just as a side note, as you drift into political season, good luck to us all on that as we make our way through, and everybody promises you free things, just understand nothing is free anywhere. All they mean is someone else will pay for it besides you. A legitimate question is, who's going to pay for it? Right? So the whole issue is, who's going to pay for it? It is entirely appropriate to go through a drive-thru and say, I will pay for the car behind me. And then when that car pulls up and they get their food and don't pay anything, is that just? Yes. It is just if you do not pay, as long as somebody pays. That's what justice requires. Justice does not require that you have to pay for your sins or for your burger, but justice requires that somebody does. That somebody freely chooses to do that on your behalf. So if someone wants to buy you a meal this week, then that's entirely just for them to do that. And if someone wants to come into your life and say, I've seen every way that you've wounded and hurt others, and I would like to pay for all of that, that is also just. I want to invite you to just personally close your eyes and just examine your life. Examine the ways that you have impacted others around you. And just try to kind of be aware of what you owe to your friends, to your spouse, to your kids, to your parents, to coworkers. It is overwhelming. But I want to invite you now to do a really biblical thing, which is to believe. Not because you feel it, not because you earned it, not because of anything other than that God has said it. Can you just believe right now that it is paid in full? That this God became incarnated as a baby. became a part of our humanity so that he could go through that drive-through first. And he could say, whatever that guy, whatever that girl behind me owes, I would like to pay all of it. Can you just believe and receive that gift?